Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, and today I am joined by the jeweler for Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. His name is Leo Frost. Everything you see that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr wear, that is jewelry. This guy makes it. He comes up with all of the sketches and creations on his own and then meets with Burrow and Chase to go over. He has over 100 NFL players. So without further ado, here is my podcast episode with Leo Frost. Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I am thrilled about our guest that is coming on today because, you know, we've talked a lot about players the Bengals added in free agency. We've talked a lot about the draft. We're going to keep talking about that for the next couple of weeks. But this week, I wanted to do a little something different and bring on someone that I'm personally very interested to talk to. And I think all of you listeners will be very interested to listen to what he has to say, because this is Leo Frost and he is Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And correct me if I'm wrong, you might have other Bengals, but he is their jeweler. And he is a world-renowned jeweler. You can follow him at Leo Frost on Instagram. I highly suggest you do. It is crazy, the pieces that he comes out with. So, Leo, thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to pick your brain about all things, how you create the pieces that you do for Ja'Marr and Joe, just about your business and everything like that.
100%. I appreciate that. I believe the entire O-line has jewelry for me as well.
Right.
So Joe did something last year during December where he, for Christmas, bought the entire O-line bust down chalk watches. I had the pleasure of making all of those. So about 16 guys who went to that Super Bowl wore my jewelry that day.
Wow, that is incredible. So I guess we'll start with this. How did you and Joe Burrow meet, and did he come to you, or when you're at the kind of status that you're at as a jeweler, do you reach out to these type of athletes and say, hey, you know, do you want anything made? How did you and Joe Burrow connect?
To be honest, it was during the national championship of LSU. I was already talking to Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards, Kerry Vincent, Sadiq Charles, couple other guys, Patrick Queen. We used to go to this little spot in LSU. It's like a little bar. We'd go in there and we just eat food, kind of just hang out, chill. And then one day someone was like, hey, Joe's kind of into jewelry. And I was like, really? You know, that's interesting. And they were like, yeah, for sure. I work with a lot of rappers here and there. Athletes. There was a guy named Boosie Badass, famous rapper. Mm-hmm. He reached out after Joe had won the national championship, and he said that he wanted to make a number 9 pendant for Joe. So I commissioned a piece from Boosie for Joe Burrow, and I had met Joe the night after the championship. Briefly, we hung out. It was pretty cool. And then we went to, I think 2 weeks later, so Boosie hit me up and I flew to Miami to go see Joe. I saw Joe. I met with Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Saquon Barkley, bunch of guys. I actually have a video that I'll send to you later of the first time I ever met Joe in a setting where I'm selling jewelry.
Wow.
And he was thrilled when he got the pendant. When Boosie had bought it for him, it was a monumental moment from a kid from Ohio who never really grew up in like a lavish luxury environment to where he's getting gifts like this or he's getting to wear diamonds. So it was cool for him. And it was a blessing.
So you just kind of hit on something that I wanted to ask you about. Joe Burrow is from Athens, Ohio, middle of nowhere, Ohio, essentially. He, you know, seems like a very down to earth, not a guy that, you know, grew up, you know, taking crazy lavish trips and, you know, lived this lavish lifestyle. He seems like a pretty normal guy, which I think is why so many people relate to him, right? And then there's this element of him where it's like he's this Ohio guy at heart, but he's got this like swag and look about himself now that people think is really cool. And
you.
It's interesting.
That LSU rock locker room is a locker room that's not like any other locker room.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think a lot of the culture and the swag that you see him embody today comes from locker room settings from Ohio, from LSU. I think that it's just he's always been a cool dude. Like, you can ask anybody in the locker room. They always tell you, like, Joe's got swag. He's cool. But I think it's the fact that he's able to just empathize and be so humble in situations and understand, like, that he's just such, like, a real guy that, you know, he'll just get involved. Mm-hmm. Whether it's he wants to make sure his team knows that he's with them. It's right. Not just about throwing the ball. So...
Right. And I think that's what's interesting is because sometimes public figures and athletes, there's this line, right, where you want them to have a personality and you want them to express themselves. But if it's too much, then you become the guy that's, you know, always worried about what he's wearing or, you know, there's a fine line you can balance. Right. And I feel like Joe does a really good job because there are some athletes who have gotten bad reputations because they're too show off and they only care about themselves and it's all about what they're wearing. And I won't mention any names, but you know what I'm talking about, where it's like, he seems to toe that line really well.
I think Joe has a lot of jewelry for me, but he doesn't wear it a lot. And I think that's where he's able to break that line. I think it's more of a, you don't see your everyday white quarterback wearing jewelry. You don't see it. It's mm-hmm. not like, it's not something that's like an everyday thing. So when people saw it for the first time, they were just like, this guy's the coolest guy ever. I remember I got calls from all over the NFL, from guys who I've worked with, from the Chiefs, the Ravens, you name it, whatever team you could possibly think of. I had every single person reach out to me when they saw Joe Burrow had a chain.
Was it like, the LSU chain or the one from this year?
The JB9, the Nike one.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to ask you about the JB9 chain that pretty much you said that he's had other jewelry from you in the past, but that I feel like was the one piece where it was like, okay, this Joe Burrow guy who's in his second year in the NFL is wearing a black turtleneck and a JB9 chain. And they win the AFC championship when no one, pretty much virtually no one in the world, besides the Bengals locker room and probably some Bengals fans, thought that they were going to go into Arrowhead and knock off the reigning AFC champion, the Chiefs. And he's wearing it. It just casually, you know, just seems like something that he does. So can you tell us a little bit about the process of making that custom piece for Joe?
So Joe was like, hey, I want something new this year. And I was like, okay, what are you thinking? And he's like, maybe something to do with my initials, maybe something to do with my number. I was like, well, we already have a number pendant. What do you think if we do like a JB9? And he's like, yeah, so what are your thoughts or what are your ideas? So I actually like sat down and drew like a bunch of different ideas of what we could possibly come up with. And I drew a little JB9 with a little Nike logo under it because I knew he's sponsored by Nike. And I showed him a picture of just some different drawings. One had a tiger on it. One had like different, I'll send you a picture of the drawing later as well. All this different ideas. And he picked this JB9 with the Nike. And I was like, okay, cool. This is really hard. And I think this is going to be a staple. Like, you're sponsored by Nike, number one. And number two, like, you're going to be probably the first athlete that Nike didn't make a chain for that's wearing Nike. It's going to be crazy. And we made the chain. We were very low key about it at first. Because it's one of those things where, like, you don't want to get the wrong impression. Like you said earlier,
right.
You know, you don't want to have the wrong impression. People are like, oh, this guy's a show off. He's spending too much money. He's doing this, doing that. So it was one of those things where Joe has actually had that chain for maybe 3-4 months. Hmm. Pulled it out for the right occasion. And wow. I think that's where his swag comes in, because he knows if you look closely on some of the images where he's walking to the locker room or the game this year, he has different jewelry, but it's very subtle. Like, he has a sponge and diamonds, but it's like probably this big.
He has a SpongeBob what?
He has a SpongeBob pendant.
Oh, okay.
It's like SpongeBob is something he really likes. So we just got, you know,
In all seriousness, this is how interesting Joe Burrow is to cover on a daily basis. Because I, as the beat reporter here, my job is to be around the Bengals every single day. And Joe Burrow has a press conference every Wednesday. And then after the game, every NFL quarterback has to do a press conference. And Joe Burrow has become his outfits and just his whole getup has become such a conversation starter that it's almost like every time he's wearing something interesting, someone asks about it. So I'm new on the beat in Cincinnati. This was my first season. I moved here from Atlanta. And I didn't know if there was a story about the SpongeBob situation or anything in the past of like why he likes it so much. I knew that he liked it, but he gets up to the podium and I'm sitting in the front row and I see custom SpongeBob shoes. I don't know if they were Chuck Taylors or Nikes. I don't remember which, but they were custom SpongeBob shoes. And then he had like a little like SpongeBob pendant. And then the like sleeve that you put in, that you put in that pocket, a pocket sleeve or pocket square. Forgive me. Sorry if I'm messing that up. But I just asked, I said, in the middle of the press conference, where does your love for SpongeBob come from? Sorry, like new kid here. Like, can you tell me? Because I love SpongeBob too, but I'm not rocking like the Krusty Krab like he is with the Santa hat on. You know what I mean?
Or a sponge or like a plankton pendant or something, you know?
So, okay. So you told us about the SpongeBob pendant. So we know about the JB9 chain, and now we know about the SpongeBob pendant. What else have you made for him?
Joe has this number 9 pendant. It's huge. It's not the small one made. We actually, the first pendant he ever got from me was a small version, but we decided to do something big for the locker room. And because we didn't want to have something that was just like too show-offy or something, we did his number, you know? Athletic style jersey number, just like how it would look on his Bengals jersey. So we did a number 9 and he wore it in the locker room. He wore it a couple times and he just told me, he said, Leo, this thing is just too big. You know, I love it. It's something I'm going to always keep, something I'm going to show my children, but it's just too big for me to wear every day. So we started coming up with different things. So we did the JB9, we did the SpongeBob pendant, we've done some glasses, we've done, some watches. He's got a few diamond watches. Joe and I are working on something really, really, really cool right now. I think that you're the first person that's hearing this, by the way.
Oh, we got an exclusive.
we're doing something that's going to break the internet, but it's also something that's going to be very iconic. And I think it'll, I love making jewelry for people that hits home at heart. So I think this one will hit home, for sure.
Do you think it'll be a piece where when we see it, I'll say, okay, that was what Leo was talking about?
You'll say that's exactly what Leo was talking about, and that's iconic.
Okay. You have any teaser of when we're going to get to see it?
Just know you will see it on his wrist.
Okay. So I still have a couple more questions about Joe. What would you say his style is when you're designing his jewelry? You mentioned that he's kind of modest and that he doesn't want something that's too heavy or too show off. Like, what would you say his style is?
When Joe and I are talking about jewelry, we think about different ways where we can make the jewelry not just like, if you look at the JB9, for example, there's diamonds on the piece. But it's to where the piece is small, and then that check completely in enamel, which is a paint-based color, and we made it in black so he could wear it with anything. You know, at first there were different ideas of doing a white and black tiger stripe or orange and black tiger stripes on the Nike check. And Joe was like, I don't want people to look at me and think like, oh, wow, I'm trying to be loud. I want something subtle, something clean. Hmm. So whenever we're designing stuff for Joe, we're always thinking about the simplicity and how to make it beautiful by keeping it simple.
That's and I think that would be how I would probably, based off of knowing, obviously I haven't gotten a chance to get to know him, but from covering the team and listening to his teammates talk about him and this brief conversation with you, that kind of seems like his vibe, right? Like he wants something that he can express himself, but it's not ever going to be too much, even though it ends up being a cultural social media talking point, but it's never his intention for that, right?
Like, I'll get into something that's really cool here. Ja'Marr Chase and Joe, when they won the LSU championship, Joe had promised the locker room he would get gold grills. Now, he couldn't afford them at the time, and no one in the locker room could have. So they when they went to the Super Bowl year, Ja'Marr Chase reached out to me 1 week before the Super Bowl and said, hey, I want to get Joe diamond grills for the Super Bowl. Promised us that when we won the national championship, he'd get a gold grill. But here we are in the Super Bowl, and now I want to get him a gift. I want to get him a diamond grill. So immediately I flew out a dentist that I work very close with. I flew him to Cincinnati. He went to Joe and Jamar's house. He got both of their molds. And I had 4 days to make a diamond grill.
Wow.
Which takes 2 weeks. I got it done in 4 days. I flew out to LA. I met them all at the hotel. I came out and, I've been selling jewelry for 2.5 years. And I will tell you, when Joe put those grills on, that was probably one of the coolest moments of my jewelry career because the sunlight just smacked his teeth. So the diamonds in his mouth just glistened and it just blinded. Body who was there, and he puts him in casually and he's like, yeah, these are cool. He's like, thanks, Ja'Marr. And he's like, Leo, we're gonna stay in touch, and thank you, I gotta go eat. And I was like, okay, cool. And I think what he'll do is you'll Joe with the grills this year, some game, I don't know when. It might be a playoff game, might not be, but you'll definitely see him maybe in a press conference where he's just talking and you just won't be able to stop looking at his teeth.
Well, that's kind of how I feel when Ja'Marr Chase wears them. So let's talk a little bit about Ja'Marr. You mentioned that he was the reason that you met Joe. How did you get connected with those LSU wide receivers?
Justin Jefferson and I were the first ones to connect. We connected, I think we were out one night. And LSU was, this was a week before the national championship. They were just chilling. I think I kept texting Justin to come out because he was going over with some tutor or some study guide to finish some homework class or something. Justin was like, bro, I really need to get the schoolwork done. And I was like, bro, you know, I was in college at the time too. And I was like, bro, just screw it. Just come out. So he ends up getting his homework done first, which is very responsible. And then he comes out and immediately we thought of this chain where we'd make a jet and jet would have stars in it and it would just go crazy. It would look like it's flying at night. And he took that design I gave him and he showed it to the entire locker room. And then Ja'Marr Chase hit me up and was like, hey, I want to get this FTF logo that I've embodied my whole life. Feed the family, and I want to make it into a pendant. And I said, easy, you know, I got you. So I linked up with Ja'Marr when he was still in college. After they won that national championship, he still had a year left. And I made some jewelry for him during that time, and then he decided to opt out. So throughout that whole time he was opted out, he was training in Dallas. while training in Dallas, I probably went to go see Jamar 7 or 8 times.
Wow.
When I go to see Jamar, it really took the way I interact with these players on a whole nother level, because I stayed at his house every time I stayed with him. So I'd spend the night, wake up in the morning, hang out, we get breakfast, whatever, this, that, casual. And I think today when I go see clients, like, I don't stay at hotels, by the grace of God, I don't have to pay for hotels. But I'll stay at my client's house. And I think that relationship with Jamar kind of just took that to another level. And then Jamar and I have just been staying in contact ever since. So it's just, when he needs jewelry, he'll call me. When he's in Houston, he'll call me. When I'm in Ohio, I'll call him. And we have a really good relationship. That's one of the most humble, people ever met in my life. He comes off as a guy who's an elite receiver, and you'd be scared to interact with him because you're not sure what he might say, but that's how he is on the football field. When you take him away from the football field, he's one of the coolest, funniest guys you'll ever meet.
That's what I was going to ask you. And as someone who spends a lot of time with Jamar Chase, who's got to know him since he was in college, what is he really like off the field?
I genuinely think he's the funniest guy ever. There's so many situations that come to mind, but it's like a very casual funny. It's like, he's not trying to be a comedian. He'll just say things that are just like, they're so funny. And it's the way he says it too. I love the Louisiana accent.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And there's certain words that they say or certain things that are just so funny. Mm-hmm. And off the field, he's the nicest person because he doesn't act like he's Jamar Chase. Like, I've had friends and my little brothers and cousins come over while Jamar and I are just hanging out playing Madden or FIFA. And he'll sit down with them and just play Madden or FIFA like he's just one of the random dudes in the room.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, so now that you explained Joe Burrow's style when you're designing his jewelry, how is his style different than Jamar Chase's style when it comes to how you create it? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the difference.
Jamar is elite. He's loud. He's like, look, when I walk in the room, I'm number one. Like, they gotta know. Like, I think Jamar's style is like, you'll see it. The more Jamar goes up in the NFL, the more he will have visually, a lot of things will be like very appealing, because like, Jamar loves the grills, Jamar loves the chains, Jamar loves the cars, Jamar loves the limelight. He's built for the limelight. He's literally he loves being in that spotlight. And I think that he embodies it so well that it's just completely different, because Joe loves the limelight too. But Joe's more more settled down, more calm. I think they're both leaders in their own way of the way they dress and the way they handle themselves. But it's this certain swag that they both have, but it's very different.
Yeah.
And I think that you'll definitely see it a lot more. For example, buying Joe a pair of diamond grills that you might not know he'll ever wear or not, but just saying you're going to do it, that's Jamar. Like, I'm going to ice out Joe's teeth. I'm like, how are you going to do that? He's like, bro, I'm going to just make him. He's going to wear them. That's it. All right, that's cool. Let's do it.
That's so awesome. Has it been fun for you to, obviously you work with them, right? But you've also gotten to know them really well. Has it been nice and fun for you to kind of see them go from LSU?
I'm going to show you something that Joe did for me. Sent me this a couple days ago. I just want to show you that the relationship is, it goes beyond the jewelry. Right here. How do I flip this?
Wow.
So this is made from, it's obviously all wooden, put this metallic case on it. And I think it was built probably somewhere in Ohio, but this is the most Joe gift I think anyone will ever receive. And I say, Joe.
Are you going to hang it?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to hang it. This is going into my new office. I just put this here at my house because I wanted to show my parents.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it just shows you, like, he knew how iconic that chain had become. And he knew how much, like, you have little kids dressing up for school as Joe Burrow with a foil paper chain.
Oh, next year for Halloween, I guarantee you we're going to see multiple little kids knocking on doors, trick-or-treating, and someone says, who are you? And they say, oh, I dressed up as Joe Burrow, and it's going to be the black turtleneck. And yeah.
You know, I've already seen it. It's crazy. And the fact that, like, I mean, I don't care, but I went to eBay and, like, I saw all these JB9s being sold, and they were the exact same pendant I made. But they were just like, for everyday use. It's no diamonds, no gold, like just the exact same design. And I was like, wow, like this was really an iconic moment in sports.
So walk us through the process as the jeweler. You said you draw all the sketch. So I assume you're a very good drawer, artist, whatever. Not sure. So you draw out the sketch and then they say, yes, I like that. So then I assume you work with diamond retailers to get the diamonds to make the chain. Like, how do you actually physically make the chains?
So basically there's a whole process of how the chain is made. Obviously that drawing is a very unique way of, I put my phone on do not disturb. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to have, but basically, that drawing is a very unique way of making sure my client has a one-of-one piece, because no one else could. I hate if someone else has the same chain as someone else. It just really bothers me because I feel like the art of working with the client and having him be very selective on what he wants throughout the entire process is what makes my process unique. And what we'll do from the drawing is we'll turn it into a 3D AutoCAD file. So it's a visual diamond file of how the pendant will look before it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take that and then we'll move it over to a 3D printer. That 3D printer will print out a wax. Now that wax will either come preset, which means the wax would have prongs on it.
Okay.
Or you just stick diamonds in after casting it, or it would come in just flat, to where after casting it, you'd have to physically drill the holes in the where you'd put the diamonds.
Right.
So cast is something where the gold is at like a very, very, very hot, like it's melted at that point. It's very hot. And you put the wax inside of a casting machine. You pour the hot, like lava gold into this machine, and this gold will absorb this wax and take the shape of it. Once it's take the shape of it, you either have the preset, like I said, where you just have to stick the diamonds in because the prongs are up, or you'll have a flat base where you have to drill the holes in and now stick the diamonds in. And as a jeweler, like you will have people, of course, that you work with that have diamonds, but if you have really good connects, like I have family in India that's able to get all these stuff for me. So I'll have them ship the diamonds. We'll have everything go through our process of certifications. Then I'll go ahead and handpick, like, this is where it gets annoying, and there's a huge headache for like 9 hours because you're going through every single stone and seeing like, okay, does this match with this one? Does this, is this one even what this person is telling me it is? So you have to like go through every single stone. And then once you do that, you'll select the stones, you'll put them in. And from there, that's when it's the fun part. You know, you get to fly out to go see the client, hang out, go to dinner. First time I saw Joe, he pulled up in his Porsche and he was like, first person that's seen this Porsche. I was like, whoa, that's so cool. Cause I remember like a week before he was driving this beat up truck and he wasn't drafted. So it was just.
That's funny. Cause I didn't know Joe Burrow drove a Porsche. Learning so many things about these guys. So I just had a couple more questions I want to ask you. Can you talk about the process of how Joe Burrow reached out to you about the offensive line watches that you made, what he sent to you, and your process in creating those?
He texted me so Joe's a planner, you know, because I have some guys like Jamar who hit me up a week before Super Bowl. You got 4 days to make a diamond grill. Can you make it happen? I'm like, yeah, I can make it happen. But then you have like Joe who will hit me up in September and say, hey, at the beginning of the season, that's what's so legendary to me. Like at the beginning of the season, he's like, hey, I want these guys to know that I take care of them and I look out for them. So I want to do something special for them. What do you think we should do here? So we thought about it.
Unbelievable.
Went through ideas. We went through different kinds of like pendant ideas, bracelets, this, that. And Joe was like, okay, what about watches? And I said, Joe, if you do watches, a Rolex today, because the watch market is so messed up today, that the same presidential you would have bought 2 years ago for $22,000, you're now going to pay $55,000 to $60,000 for it. So Joe was just like, you know, that just doesn't make sense for anybody. And even though the guy can afford it, it just doesn't make financial – there's no financial literacy behind this idea of buying 13 Rolexes in your second year in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Maybe after your second contract, totally cool. But your second year, that's a little crazy. So then we – thought of this idea where I just sent him a G-Shock one day. And I said, what do you think about icing out some G-Shocks? And he was like, Leo, what the hell would that even look like? And I was like, to be honest, I don't even know. I've never made one. I made a little mock-up of one. I just said, screw it. Go ahead and make it. I made one in around October. And I wrote it to him and he was like, yo, this is amazing. And he said, I'm going to contact you in about 2 weeks and I'm going to have my people reach out to you and we'll figure out the prices. I said, that's totally cool. Take your time. He hit me up 3 days later and he was like, hey, I love it. Let's do it. And I made all 13 watches by Christmas. I shipped them out. They all had, Joe had me wrap every single one like I'm Santa Claus or something. And I've never rapped until that day.
Did you pull up a YouTube clip on how to rap?
And I was just like, it was so annoying, so stressful. And I was like, how do all these women, like, I got to give credit to all these girls out here who've ever rapped anything for Christmas for me, because it's just like, this is not easy. Mm-hmm. And then I had my little brother help. And then my little brother, I was in this like high rise area where I stay. And there was this girl walking by. My little brother's like, hey, do you know how to wrap gifts? And she's like, yeah, I actually do. I'm really good at it. So this girl helped us wrap all of Joe's gifts. And we literally shipped out the box. And Joe called me the next day and was like, yo, they loved him. They absolutely loved him. And then I had the next, I got messages from the entire O-line on Instagram. Leo, thank you.
Who loved theirs the most of all the offensive linemen?
I would say that like probably everybody, like I go to the offensive linemen's Instagrams and you can just go to their Instagrams. You'll see them wearing the watches and just every day. Like I saw a picture of someone with his wife. And I zoomed in on his wrist. And he's wearing the bust down G-Shock at like a casual, like just chill event or something like that. I don't know. But it's just really cool to see it. And then for them to hit you later.
Yeah.
And realize that this is such an iconic moment. Like no quarterback this year got their gifts for any NFL team. Trust me. Because when I posted that, I had probably like, and I hate to say this, but we're not going to name names here. But I had about like 20 guys from different teams be like, I hate my quarterback. He didn't do nothing like that for us. Or, damn, my quarterback don't love me like Joe loves the Bengals. Or, damn, I wish Joe was my quarterback.
So can you tell us all of the pieces that you've made for Jamar Chase?
Jamar Chase, I made this FTF pendant. I made a baguette pendant. I mean, a baguette break chain for him. Right now, he's the setup he's rocking. If you watch I Am Athlete, his latest podcast, he's wearing all the jewelry that him and Jalen Waddle are wearing. I made, and it's just, it's super cool because Jamar has always picked jewelry that's unique. He's always picked jewelry that, for some reason, I love his taste in jewelry. Like, I share a very similar taste when it comes to the stuff that he purchases or he likes. And I know what he likes now, just because if I like it, I'm sure he likes it. Every time, spot on, it's been like that. And I think Jamar and I on this new chain are really doing something very cool, because a lot of people have diamond baguette round chains, but there's nothing to do with like green emeralds on there or other stuff. And he's always picking the most unique things and making them work together. And it's super dope.
How do you think that with
grills, got two pairs of grills for me.
How do you think that with what we were talking about, how sometimes jewelry can affect perception? How do you think that Jamar will?
I was waiting, because I think this is a beautiful question. And I think that Joe Burrow has done an amazing job at really breaking that line. Because for the past, I've only been selling jewelry 2.5 years, but for the past 5 years of really like paying close attention to the NFL, I noticed that a lot of people get criticized for the jewelry they're wearing. I saw a video of Deion Sanders when he was going to the draft, and the reporter asks him, "Wow, it looks like you've spent your entire bonus on your chains."
Yeah.
And there's a perception here that Joe helped break for a lot of people. And Joe hasn't even touched his NFL money. Anytime he's bought jewelry from me, it's just off of a sponsorship deal or off some kind of extra deal where there's just money coming in. And what most people don't realize is it's not Joe that's just doing that. It's your guys like Jamar Chase too. Jamar Chase doesn't have to touch his NFL money. He's got deals going left, right, and center. You got Sleep Number calling him. You got Old Spice calling him. Like,
so you mean to tell me that's why he went and did the Raising Cane's Day to buy your jewelry?
No, I think it's more of it comes to a point where, you know, you're such an iconic person in the league at such an early young age. There's a lot of hype around you. There's like, you are literally the rookie of the year. You broke every rookie record. Like, whether you're McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Canes, you're going to have to pay big money to see Jamar Chase. And the amount, if you look at the amount that he's probably, I'm not counting, I'm not pocket watching here, but if we were to just come up with a number, like, if you look at the amount Jamar has made, not even from NFL, but from other things, and compare it to the amount he spent on jewelry, it's really not much. But still, you know, he's got an $80,000 watch on his wrist, you know?
Yeah. Well, the reason I just think it's an interesting point because Cam Newton, for example, one of the biggest downfalls of his career. I mean, there's a lot there. We'll gloss over some of it, including some recent comments that I'm not very happy about. But his outfits, right? Like, that's what I think kind of, they're loud, and a lot of people found them to be too much. And it was, the Panthers weren't winning and the Patriots weren't winning. And it was just always like this whole kind of,
I have a question for you.
You care more about your perception than, you know, wins and losses. And it's just, it's going to be fascinating to see. And it sounds like the way that Joe and Jamar were raised and their kind of humble personalities will allow them to stay grounded. But like, you know, those questions and thoughts are coming as Jamar like continues on this rise. Right. So that's why I thought it would be interesting to ask kind of how you think he's going to be able to still be able to want to wear what he wants to wear and do what he wants to do, but knowing, you know, this is a thing now in this society.
I think that that's very good the way you put it. And I think that going back to Jamar loves the limelight, he's going to be the type of person to say, you know what? You might criticize me for my outfit, but you're also going to clap when I score 3 touchdowns and go for 260 yards.
Yeah. So I guess I just want to kind of wrap it up with, what were you doing during now that you like, now that I've learned how close you are to Jamar and Joe and then making those watches, right? Like, were the Bengals your team? I know you have a lot of players in other teams, but like, were the Bengals your team? And how was the playoff journey like for you to watch these guys kind of shock the world and make the run that they did, including getting to the Super Bowl and Jamar Chase being like this close from catching a pass? I mean, he made Jalen Ramsey fall down. Had Joe Burrow saw him, the Bengals would have been Super Bowl champs, right? Like, how is that for you to watch that?
First comment to answer the first question, I can't have a team. hard for me to have a team. I love watching all my clients play.
So do you have like a red zone situation in your house? Like, how do you keep up with everybody's games?
Because it's like, you know, I sell jewelry in under 2 years. I sold jewelry to 175 NFL athletes.
Wow. Who are some of the other guys that you mentioned Jalen Waddle and Justin Jefferson, but who are some of the other guys you do?
Well, you just talked about how Jalen Ramsey got burnt. That's one of my clients. It's a lot of people all over the league. I would just say that, like Justin Fields, Trey Lance, guys going into the draft this year, Malik Willis, Aiden Hutchinson, Chris Olave, Justin Jefferson.
Wow.
I mean, the list is massive.
Do you think that, we'll go back to my question in a second, but do you think that Joe and Jamar and like Instagram has grown your business in terms of those guys finding you?
When Joe reposted my Instagram story, my followers jumped 200,000 followers. 200,000 in a day.
Wow.
That's insane. Like, that's star power right there.
Mm-hmm.
So excited to be like, oh my God, our Bengals quarterback is not only the best quarterback coming out from college, but he's the swaggiest quarterback in the league right now. Like, and it's just, he's exuberating confidence in everything. Like it's crazy. But going back to seeing Joe and Jamar go to the Super Bowl, that run was beautiful because I remember just sitting next to Jamar, and I get goosebumps right now talking about it. But I remember just sitting next to Jamar and he literally telling me like, hey, before this season starts, no, let's go back to before the draft. I had a conversation with Joe. I called Joe and I said, Joe, y'all cannot take, by the way, I love you. You're my dog. He's one of my clients. But I told Panay, I said, bro, you're not going to the Bengals. He said, bro, the offensive, the headquarters have called me, the coaches have called me, I've gone to all the visits, I think I'm going to the Bengals. I said, no disrespect here, I'm not in the NFL, I'm not an agent, I sell jewelry, but you're not going to the Bengals. Like, it's going to be Jamar Chase. And I had spoken to Joe a few days after I made those comments, and I said, bro, there's no way y'all are not getting Jamar. He said, look, if Jamar is on the board, Jamar is who I'm getting. Like, Jamar is my boy. I know for a fact. And the fact that this guy chose Jamar over having a better O-line and staying protected after that first injury shows that he knows that the connection they have can take them very far. And then I told Jamar, I said, look, bro, I ain't trying to, you know, say nothing, but I talked to Joe already. Like, you're going to go to the Bengals. And he's telling me, he's like, yo, I think I might go there, but you know, the Jets are after me too. And I said, bro, the Jets. Sorry, you might have to bleep that. But by the way, if there's any Jets fans, I don't care, to be honest. Michael Carter is my boy, but he even knows that it is. what's it called? But anyway, so I was like, okay, if I end up going there, then I'm going to write these goals on my mirror. So he writes some goals on his mirror. It says 10 touchdowns, his first rookie season. And then the note underneath it says break every record that a rookie has done in the NFL. And he had those things on his mirror as notes, sticky notes, throughout the entire season. And then he broke those goals and had to write down new ones.
What are the new ones, you know?
I mean, I don't know the exact new ones for this next season.
I hear him say that he wants to win the Triple Crown.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
I think he's very – I think that if Cooper Kupp didn't play this season, he could have definitely, you know, done his thing there.
How behind the scenes, obviously, like, I know you don't live with them, but like, how much time and how much work in the off season do Joe and Jamar put in that make them as good as they are?
They're elite. These guys are up at 5 a.m. every morning. You'll shoot any of them a text at 5 a.m. Like, the first thing they're doing is they're practicing, they're getting it out of the way, they're training. They'll have some time at like, night, but I think that both of these guys have realized like they have something here. They have an opportunity to be not just great, but to be legends. And I think that when you feel that inside you and you know that the timing is so relevant to what's going on, they're not these like crazy party animals. They're not like, they could be going off right now, you know, both of them. Super Bowl bonuses, this, that, whatever, you know, but they're just ready to go back to the Super Bowl. Like I spoke to Joe the other day. I texted Joe. Joe texted me back 4 days later and said, bro, sorry, I've been so focused on going over everything off season. I said, bro, you don't have time to chill. And he said, no, I don't have time to chill. And I said, okay, well, maybe you should just, you know, take a week off. And Joe's the type of person where he doesn't want to take a week off. And I think he's the type of person that he may not say it, but nobody wants to be in a position where you lose the Super Bowl. But I think that stung him. And I think that sting is as lit. If we've seen Joe ball out, the way that this man has been speaking, we're about to see a different level. And it's like it's an evolution of the quarterback, you know?
Well, it's, and like, apparently we're going to see him with something new on his wrist too, huh?
No, 100%. And you'll see a lot of cool stuff this year. Joe and I are always going back and forth with things, but there's some stuff that he's haven't even shown y'all yet. There's stuff that he hasn't pulled out in front of people. There's stuff that I can't, or don't want to talk about yet, just because it'll ruin.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, Leo, I will let you go. I probably held you up longer than you probably predicted today, but it was so much fun talking about all of these different things with you. Big fan of your work, and hoping that in the future we can have you back on and you can talk about some of the other designs that come out this year.
100%. And go ahead and send me your address. I'm going to send you something from my company. At the beginning of this, you mentioned you don't have any diamonds that you're wearing.
Bare bones here.
That way you can get Joe the next time you interview him and say, hey, you and me both are wearing Leo Frost.
Maybe that will get me to the front of the line. I would love to ask him, and maybe you could get some intel on this, but, and I forgot to even ask you about, I guess we can't close out the podcast yet, but, the comment made by the reporter, so after he wore the chain, after the AFC championship, a reporter asked, are your diamonds real? And then he had that iconic quote that was like, I make too much money to not wear real diamonds. Again, a lot of other quarterbacks could say that and people would be like, man, this guy is like it's, you know, no, like, because that's, you know, a comment that could be perceived the wrong way. But he said it, and everybody just, you know, thought it was hilarious.
It's the way he
wonders, like, why do these guys ask me so many questions about my outfits and my jewelry? Like, do you think his like rise to fame has surprised him at all?
Imagine that, like, people look at Joe in the same light that they looked at Brady. And imagine Tom Brady coming to a post conference with the Cartier, blue iced out Cartiers, and a chain. For people all over the country, this is legendary. This is like, this has never been seen before.
Well, it's on top of the cigar meme that is on every t-shirt in Cincinnati. Yeah. You know, it's on top of that.
And like, it just, it's something that nobody has. Nike reached out to me, and we had a whole, like, I was I think I'm the first jeweler ever to work with US Nike football on a collab t-shirt, where we made Joe Burrow's chain on a t-shirt that people could wear, and it was sold in Cincinnati. Mm. There were 5 shirts made on Nike.com, and there were a select group of stores in Cincinnati that received these t-shirts. And there's a mural in Cincinnati of Joe Burrow wearing the black turtleneck and the jacket with the JB9 pendant. And it's a mural in Cincinnati. It's beautiful. And it's just like, that's how iconic it was for people to see Joe with a chain, because I'm not going to get into the racial lines of things and this stuff like that, but I will say, like, he's the first white quarterback to really embody like the swag. Like, he's pulling up with all sorts of things that for him, he just thinks it's cool. He's not trying to impress you. He's not trying to be on the magazine in tomorrow. He's not trying to be on GQ. He's not trying to say, I make too much money for my diamonds to think that, to wear fake ones, in a way where he's trying to, what you would call flex culture, or flexing on you, or he's not trying to like brag. He is a simple man telling you, looking at his chain, laughing, thinking this is cool. Like, oh no, I make too much money to wear fake stuff. And it's like, it's iconic.
Yeah.
It's Nike reached out to me and told me, like, Leo, you've made a monumental moment in sports history. Nike emailed me last week. They want to do something for Joe for the Nike's 50th anniversary of US Nike football. And the chain is so iconic that they want to have the poster of the 50th anniversary with him wearing the chain on it.
That's big, like, time.
It is. And it's also big for people like Nike, because now you have companies like Adidas who are now making change for their clients.
Have you had anyone reach out to you trying to buy that chain, that exact same chain, the JB9? Like celebrities or like anybody that's like a huge Burrow fan that would people not want to wear a JB9 chain? That's not, if they're not Joe Burrow.
So I was in a setting with a couple people, and Justin Bieber was in the room and a couple other guys, and Joe's chain had came up, and I didn't even bring it up. And I think maybe like 3 people in the room knew that I had made the chain. And everyone was like, man, Joe's so cool. Like, I hear Justin Bieber, he's like, man, he's the coolest dude. Like, I need that chain. And because Justin Bieber, JB, you know?
Big believer over here.
it was so cool. And one of my boys is like, yo, Leo made his jewelry. And he's like, oh, no way. Like, you made this? And I showed him the piece and all this other stuff. And he's like, man, I need one of these. And we exchanged contacts, we exchanged numbers, and I don't want to make the exact same thing for him. I told you I hate when people have 2 of the same chains from me, but I told him we can make a cool version of that to make it a little more unique for him. but there's no way that I'm going to make him a JB9 that's only for Joe.
So Justin Bieber is a Joe Burrow fan. We can confirm that?
You can confirm that.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
I had Lil Yachty reach out to me when Joe Burrow had got a grill. And he was just like, this is so cool, bro. So I think that he's really just like, he's taken over a lot of the culture and just kind of embodied it. But as like a humble professional while still being an elite quarterback. And I think like there's no words to describe this man. We just got to enjoy the time that we're seeing right now. We just got to have fun with it. We're having a podcast about him, like, and Jamar. And, you know, honestly, like, these are two guys that we're not going to see for a very long time after they're done playing. And we just got to enjoy it while we're here. And they're going to continue to produce iconic moments. Jamar's outfits will get more interesting. Joe's swag will get even more swaggier. And I just think you're in the perfect time to be around here, Kelsey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, be sure to follow Leo on social media. You can keep up with all of the designs and jewelry that he makes for Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. If you don't see it on their Instagrams, be sure to give him a follow. And Leo, thanks again for joining us on this episode of the Bengals Beat podcast.
Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings, and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download USA Today Sports Plus from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus, fan harder. Well, I really enjoyed that conversation with Leo, and I hope you guys did too, from just the type of different styles that he has to create for Joe and Jamar and how they're different and how they're balancing being able to want to express themselves, to how the perception can be sometimes with jewelry, to also just learning more about what these guys are like off the field and how much fun Leo has creating pieces of jewelry for them. It was a great episode. Really enjoyed my conversation with Leo. As mentioned, be sure to check him out on social media. He's a great follow. And now we'll turn it back to draft talk and more draft content over the next couple of weeks as we get you ready for the draft that's just a couple weeks away. But appreciate you guys tuning in and hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bengals Beat podcast.